I grind for the love of the game. Never paying full price, always hunting for bargains. We grind for the love of the game. Fantasy basketball week 5. These are the players on the margins. What's up, Licky?
What's happening? Love that bargain hunting season. It's Black Friday coming up.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I should go then. I got to hunt some of those deals. I don't have time to record anymore if it's this Friday.
Sort of premium package that we can hawk at this point for 85% off.
Welcome back to Projecting the Jump, everyone. Hope you are still enjoying the meat left on the bone of our last episode. And we're going to get back to another topical Projecting the Jump style way of talking about some guys and talking about guys on the margin. So the kind of general premise of this pod we're going to do today is these are players on the margins. In general, when I was doing this, Licky, I was looking at longer term names rather than situational streamers to examine some players that we tend to either hold on to because the name cachet or because of their tantalizing upside, whether it be their draft position in the NBA draft, or you're just, you know, you're waiting to see if the breakout comes. So I have two categories today. Going to be looking at what I call the name recognition outweighs their production guys, and then the luxury stash upside flashing guys. We love some young flashing guys. So yeah. And in general, before we get into the names, I think to round out your roster, you want a blend of these guys, balancing it out. Having too many upside stashes or, you know, young flashing guys or low upside vets on one roster can kind of throw things out of whack. So players on the margin in general. Licky, how'd you go into our research on this pod?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of looked at it a little bit like an ad drop pod, but in kind of in the same way. Because, I mean, like you mentioned, we're now about 4 weeks entering week 5 of the season. That you're still trying to decide, you know, these guys you spent a fair amount of draft equity on. Do you hold them? Is the sample size large enough that you can move on from these guys? And if you do, who would you move on from them for? And so kind of just investigating those. And I kind of wanted to be pretty critical with some of the guys I was looking at and not just kind of take the easy, you know, most add, most drop guys and kind of look at some ones that would be painful cuts, I guess.
Yes, I like that. So we had the same idea in general. We just stylized it differently. These are players that are tough to cut for whatever reason. We're not talking about the hot guys jumping off the wire. I'm not going to talk much about
Kelly Oubre.
That's a hot guy, but he's falling. He's falling to the wire, and for good reason. So, so we'll get into the names here. I want to start with a guy who's still 83% rostered. And for me, he's just a threes and point streamer with a marquee name. So when we're talking about some of these names, I'm trying to present an idea that a lot of times when we're hanging on to a Klay Thompson, that is our first player. Klay Thompson, I would rather ride a hot player, a real hot player, in an elevated role who's going to give me the same production. So right now, think Malik Beasley in Detroit or Duncan Robinson in Miami with Jaime Jaquez missing time. He had a nice game today, by the way, recording Monday, November 18th. So I just want to ride someone and then ditch them when they cool off or they go back to the bench or their minutes start trending down. So Klay Thompson, still 83% rostered, like I mentioned. And his last two games, his minutes are really starting to trend down. He played 18 and 25 minutes his past two games. So I'm just not seeing the meat on the bone. Like, you get three-pointers a game, you get your 13 points. He doesn't do anything else anymore. He's shooting sub 40%, and he's a role player. So he's a role player in fantasy too, but he's Klay Thompson. So do you find this to be somebody that's a bit of fool's gold? You know, where would you take Klay Thompson in terms of expendable to move on to a hot streamer?
Yeah, you know, this is not a guy that I put on my list, and so, but I'm glad that you did because I think this is a really good person to highlight. I think we saw it last year that the defensive stats have fallen off, and so you're really just getting threes and points when he's hot. Yeah, so I think this is a great guy to highlight here. That I think that he's could certainly be a move on guy because these numbers are pretty comparable. I think long term, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be on rosters most of the season. I think that he's he should probably be a long term hold, but we'll kind of see how that goes.
So just to finish off Clay, and then we'll jump over to Natron. For me, I think totally cuttable in points league. Just ditch him. If you want to hold him in category leagues, you can. It depends on your size. So I'm saying he's a cut, confidence level 3 out of 5, points leagues 4 out of 5. Depends on the depth of your league, but I'm comfortable cutting him. Sounds like we're on the same page.
Yeah, good highlight there. The first guy I got here, I'm not going to spend any time on because we talked about him last week, but just wanted to bring it home again, is Jonathan Kuminga at 83% rostered. He's the 246th ranked player in fantasy. You can, as we talked about last week, you feel pretty comfortable moving on from him. The next guy,
I'm
this
not
is, I
totally
think,
comfortable. I got to jump in. It's my job.
yeah.
Nobody's paying me, but it's still my job. So he would fall in my luxury stash upside flashing guys because he has, in since we talked, he's had, I don't have his box scores in front of me, but I know he's churned out some mostly scoring based lines that kind of pop. So I still feel like he could be a trade sweetener. When I'm considering drops, and same with Clay. I mean, float out and offer first, and with a 2 for 1, and no one likes the guy who floats out an offer and cuts him the next day. But he might be worth someone to something, something to somebody. So I would say, Kuminga, I have more pause.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying that he's a must cut by any means. I'm just saying that he's not, and I guess this is comes with everybody on my list. It's just if you need to make a move, if you have injuries that are piling up, if he doesn't fit the build, you need to go for a different category. You can move on from these guys here, especially these first six guys that I'm going to mention. In fact, I wouldn't advocate for dropping them per se, but I just am saying that you don't need to feel terrible if you. If you had to move on from them.
Okay, that extra context is helpful. Thanks.
The next guy, this one I feel like has, and I'm interested to hear your take on this one because this one I feel like has the biggest potential to blow up in my face in 3 weeks and and look very bad. But I wanted to start when I was looking at my potential droppable guys, was looking at guys that were rostered in north of 60% of leagues. So it was kind of taking swings on all these guys that were pretty comfortable, but probably fit into that realm of you have them on your team and you haven't been that happy with them and you're wondering what to do. So this guy is a was a former top three pick in the last 5 years. He's playing in the Western Conference for a winning team. Do you know who this player is?
A winning team.
I think it's a winning team, at least a 500 team.
Okay. Western Conference winning team, top three pick. You
Yeah.
feel like he's expendable. No, I'm
Maybe, but yeah, so this would be Jabari Smith.
okay. That's a great one for this list. Yeah, let's talk about
He's
him.
86% rostered. So you probably, drafted him moderately high. But so far on the season, he's the 163rd player in per game value. He's averaging 11.7 boards, 1.4 threes, and not really giving you much defensively. The things that are a little concerning with him so far is that last year his minutes per game were 32. So far this year he's averaging 28, and once the calendar's flipped over to November, it's dropped down even further to 26. So far this season he's averaging less rebounds, blocks, steals, points, threes. All of them are down from last year, and his minutes are kind of just. He's losing some of the opportunities to some of the strong bench that they have in Houston.
Strong
W
bench.
now, what do you think about Jabari Smith? Do you think he's a buy low guy, or do you think he's a potentially expendable?
He is, as I go to drop him, I start to quiver and and I'm like, I go back and I take a look and I say, okay, on November 15th against the Clippers, he had 28 points, 11 rebounds, 2 steals, 5 3-pointers. And I say to
Fantastic game.
myself, and I say to myself, cool, let's wait for 2.5 weeks until he does it again. You know, he's one of those, he's 86% rostered. It's tough, man, because especially in a category league where you are taking L's every day, not getting better production from that spot, it's really tough. In a format where you have stashability, whether it's like a weekly locking lineup league where the players on your bench you don't play, he's a perfect stash. Or in a roto league or a games cap league, there are formats where he's a great asset because it's still hard to predict when he's gonna pop off. But you don't drop a player like that. You just kind of wait for a hot streak. You hope you can predict it accurately. But in a 9-cat daily changes league, your typical fantasy league like we play in, he is very hard to cut, and he's very hard to roster. He is like the player that will make your head explode. Now, depending on your league size and what you know. Where you're at. Now, if you started 1-3, you can't hang on to the Kamingas and the Jabari Smiths. I would hope that somebody who started 3-1 or 4-0 would be willing to take that on and give it a shot. Here's a question. Like, would you rather have Alex Saar or Jabari Smith?
Jabari Smith.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. So
just
like,
because he's not hurting you in categories. I mean, he's not doing much, right. But Alex Saar can be actively torpedoing you in some categories.
Well, if you're punting free field goal percentage and, you know, turnovers, Alex Saar, I mean, the blocks are just such a boom. The blocks, right. The blocks in three. So it's one of those where like, it's so tough with a player like Jabari and Saar. It really matters. Are you absorbing it well? Are you absorbing where they hurt you well? But with Saar, I think you're getting a little more consistent production in the blocks, the points and rebounds. With Jabari Smith, he'll put up a 4-2 like it's nothing. And then he'll have a 28-11. Right. So I'd say, you know, have fun with that one. Anybody who tells you there's a definitive take on what to do with Jabari Smith Jr. in an average daily changes league, they're just trying to create a clip. So, yeah, that's depends what would be harder to stomach, the next 4.2 rebound game or when you drop him and someone streams him in on you and he goes off for 28-11. What's going to hurt
more? Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a good one. Okay, this is a good topic. So we're getting back into the name recognition outweighs the production, guys. Lucky, 82% rostered is one scary Terry Rozier. So let's start here. How the hell is his rostership 40% higher than Jordan Clarkson, around 40%, who has just been a better version of the same profile so far? He's a popular player. It feels strange to drop him, sure. But I think, again, like Clay, we could bring in more weekly value from streaming through his roster spot. The minutes are dipping below 30 of late. Now he has foot discomfort. We may be safe moving on from Terry. You know, we can get into the numbers real quick. You know, so far in the season, in 31 minutes, he is shooting 38% when last year he shot 44%. So there could be positive progression coming. You're getting 12.9 points, 4.2 rebounds, 3.7 assists. You know, so he's just a marginal asset right now. And if there are hot, so I texted you last night and I was like, man, looking at the waiver wire has just dried up like quicksand. You know, just it's evaporated. 2 weeks ago, there were all these guys that we needed to be quick on the trigger. And I think Terry Rozier didn't feel like a player that was expendable then to pick up some of those guys. But now the next time a hot free agent comes along, Terry might be on my can cut list. I have cuttable and cats category leagues, confidence level 2 of 5. I think he's a holding points leagues because he can put up those popcorn numbers, confidence level 3 out of 5. So I'd probably rather have Terry than Clay, but it's not that close. Does this one surprise you? Where are you at on scary Terry and his ability to get back to a top 80?
I am surprised to see him a little bit coming up on this list, but I'm also surprised by the heat in general. I didn't quite understand why they traded for him last year and gave up a first round pick. That seemed a little confusing to me at the time. But coming into the season, I mean, there was a lot of talk out of Miami that, you heard Tyler Hero say it. You heard Jimmy Butler say it. They said, you know, Terry Rozier is the point guard. Terry Rozier is going to be racking up assists this season. And so I kind of thought, all right, so we're going to see him less in that scoring role and more in a facilitating role. And so I kind of bumped him up on my pre-draft rankings a little bit because of that, thinking that, all right, we're going to see a little bit less wild shots and just kind of maybe assists getting up into the sevens range. And so, but it's been interesting to see that that really hasn't really happened. In fact, Tyler Hero has been averaging more assists on this team than he has. So, yeah, I think that's, I don't know if I would be willing to cut him yet. I mean, something stinks in Miami, but I think I would be holding on to him at this point, but you're certainly unhappy with him.
He's on the margins, right? I mean, he's on the margins now. Yes. In the past, he's not been on the margins. I like what you said about Hero, because I think Hero's breakout, and you can call it a breakout. I might call it an extended hot streak. We've seen this from Hero before. 10 is probably correlating with Terry's production. You get a little positive regression in the field goal percentage region, and Hero regresses a little bit. The problem is their skill sets are so similar. that when they're out there, you know, it's that's why I think giving up a first round pick when you already had Tyler Hero, it's kind of like, isn't there something else that you could have attacked in the trade market with your first round pick? But yeah, I think you could see some improvement from him, but just don't be afraid. I think you're not going to drop him and be like, oh my God, here's a top 40 run. So I'd try to hold. Yeah. I would overall. But again, you don't have to.
Yeah, I like that highlight for sure. Yeah, I mean, and to your point, I mean, I was thinking about the waiver wire drying up. I mean, I think the other thing too is that now with all the kind of the injuries and sicknesses and rests finally piling up, everybody's IR spots have now filled up. And so those top 10, 15, 20 free agent guys are now on somebody's roster. Yes. So it's just a little bit drier out there in general.
Yep, there's a correlation with the injuries and just the waiver wire going barren. Good call.
So my next guy I have here was, I think, somebody that was on a lot of people's breakout list and could very well still. We'll see. That is Keyonte George at 73% rostered,
your boy.
But ranked at 235.
Rankings hate him. Nine cat rankings hate Keno.
Yeah, they're not friendly to him. So, but this is kind of I broke this into a good bad, and I'm kind of curious to see where you fall on him in general, as far as, you know, season long. So, the good is that, you know, he's a second year player. He's averaging more points, rebounds, assists, steals, and threes from last year. He's the number 34th player in the league as far as assists per game. And he's playing 32 minutes a night on a team that's committed to his development. He hits threes, he scores. So there's a lot to like with Keyonte George. But the bad is the percentages are truly torpedoing.
Yeah.
He's shooting 35% from the field on very high volume, 14 attempts per game. He's giving you basically nothing as far as the defensive end goes, and then is coughing the ball up quite a bit. So last year, he wasn't a great shooter. He shot 39% from the field, but, you know, so you should get a little bit more regression kind of coming back up. My thoughts are is that, I mean, if you need points and threes and assists, you know, and you can handle, you know, the lack of defense and percentages, then he could be a good player for your team. But I think that, you know, what he gives you, he's going to be on rosters almost the entire season. So I think that roster percentage isn't necessarily going to come down too much and his rankings will climb. But I think due to the lack of ability so far to improve on his deficiencies, I don't think we're seeing a top 100 campaign from him this season.
He is such an interesting player for this list. He would fit very comfortably on the upside flashing guys list that I was referencing. He is very build specific. You're going to hear that a lot in this podcast as we're talking about guys on the margins. Actually, some of them aren't. They're just bad. They're just streamers for people who are holding. But for me, when I see 35% from the field and you're still scoring 15 points, getting 5.5 dimes, 3 rebounds, it's your second year in the league. You play for perhaps the worst team in the league. For me, that's a hold. That's if I'm punting field goal percentage, which I am in our league of record, I might see. Do you have him? Do you have Keyonte George?
No, James does.
James. Okay. Well, after I take care of James this week, maybe I can take Keyonte George off his hands. shout out James Robinson with a tough start to the season. But hey, you nailed the Towns pick. You know, first year I haven't had Cat in a long time, and he's the top 5 player. So you got that. But no, he for me, especially, we get in a silly season and it's already silly for the Jazz. He could still, in his rankings, you're right. Like, this nine cat rankings are always going to look atrocious, but if you can take the turnovers and the field goal percentage hit, then he's a target.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I like the player, hate the season.
Yeah. Hate the Jazz season.
Yeah. I don't know.
Doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
As a Blazers fan, you're fine.
had to happen at some point.
It's true. So this is, Nate, my last player in the name recognition at Raise the Production category. And you'll be sensing a theme. This is the big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo.
Ooh, I had him on my list. I'm glad. Here we go.
Let's go. I like to hear it. So he's down to 66% roster. When I started research for this pod on Friday, he was at 73% rostered. So people are catching on a little bit. He really has bottomed out here in mid-November. Over a 3-game stretch, he totaled 8 points, 6 dimes, 2 triples, and 2 total defensive stats. He had 15 points and three triples off the top of my head yesterday, so that's streamer level again. But for me, he's become a grab him when he gets hot guy, much like he was before this breakout he had in New York last year. You remember Nate with Golden State? He was a guy you'd pick up and ride, and you drop him again. You drop him off.
Yeah.
So I'm adding him to the list, like Malik Beasley, Duncan Robinson. That's who DiVincenzo is. He had an awesome role in New York, and he seized the moment. And I think, if anything, the elevated trade value we got from DiVincenzo may have helped Knicks fleece the Timberwolves in that trade, in my opinion. You know, because DiVincenzo's a replacement level seventh man, honestly.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the hype over his inclusion in that trade. Like, he was some Ray Allen level shooter.
No doubt. So this is a pretty quick one for me, Nate. I think if the schedule favors him, he can be a threes and steals streamer, three games in four nights. Again, though, when I referenced those three games, that was in four nights. So you weren't loving what you held on to there. So for me, he's coddable in all formats right now until the role improves or there's an injury. Confidence level 4 out of 5. This is pretty easy for me.
Yeah, I'm 100% lockstep with you here. I think I just think, like you said, you can get this production at a lot of other places. I had Grayson Allen kind of highlighted as a guy that, you know, could be comparable, swap with him, you know, and then, but really, you know, so he's having a cold spell, or he's having a difficulty adjusting to the roster, which will change. I mean, shooting 35% of the field, that is going to come up. But when it does, I mean, last year he was 115th ranked player in fantasy.
Right.
So if he figures it out again, you're looking at a fringe level player. Best case scenario.
Like, what
so
do
why,
you get
so why are
if
you
win?
Holding on to somebody in the cold while they're doing bad?
What do you get if you win?
Exactly. Yeah. I think I agree. Move on at this point. If unless you really need the, I mean, he's giving you steals, which is nice. So, you know, if you really need the points and threes, and that kind of is the one hole in your roster, then that's totally fine.
Or if your league only has two roster moves a week, and it's just not worth it to stream in a little more production than DiVincenzo, you might hang on to him a little bit longer.
Yeah, or if you played in a league with only two categories.
Or two categories. One is being Italian. One is being Italian. And one
is just going to Villanova.
And one is vertical for white guys. okay, so Nate, what do you got for us next?
All right, so the next couple guys, I don't have any stats on them, per se, and so just wanted to rip through it real quick and rip on these guys being rostered. So first one is Mark Williams. 75% rostered.
Oh, hi, Mark.
What are we doing here? Yeah, didn't we see this movie last year? I mean, he started the season questionable for game one. He was questionable, and he still hasn't played yet. I just don't understand why three quarters of leagues are holding on to him. I mean, even if he does get on the floor, last year during his breakout, he averaged 13-10 with a little over one block a game. I just think that you can get 85% of this production without having to have somebody eat up your IR spot.
So I think this is the ultimate example, and it needs to be mentioned, of showing how many dead Yahoo leagues there are this year. Josh Lloyd has ripped on this quite a bit, to where Yahoo changed it to where when you're joining a fantasy league, they had changed, like, when you join up, you automatically join a free league. I did. Actually, I did that in football this past year. You're trying to join, you join a free league, or you join a points league. It made it more confusing to join the kind of league you were looking for. And so there are a lot of people who just let the drafts happen and have left these dead rosters, which are messing up the statistics that we use, which are that's why using something like Basketball Monster, which weighs that stuff, cuts it out, and gives you a cleaner percentage, is definitely worthwhile. So shout out to their product. But yeah, when you're looking at the straight Yahoo roster percentage, it's unreal. Mark Williams, I liked him as a sleeper before it seemed like he would never play again. But there's always a big guy to go get those stats from. You just move on to a healthy man.
Yes,
a healthy man. You know, you don't need to keep Chris Kristofferson on your roster. He passed away. You don't need to keep Mark Williams as well. R.I.P. Chris Kristofferson. Mark Williams, hope he can get back on the court soon. So that's a good one.
Yeah. Similarly, the next guy, I feel the same way. And this guy's, you know, I think you can drop Mark Williams. The next one, Chris Middleton, is 76% rostered.
That's so much.
I think at this point, if you drafted him and held on to him for 4 weeks, you're probably
an idiot.
Committed. And you're committed. It's just, I think if there's any way that you can get off of him at this point, it's worth a try. I mean, he's coming off of two
get
separate
off of him,
surgeries.
Him.
Yeah, drop him. I mean, it's fine. He's
Gotta
coming off
drop him.
surgeries on both ankles this offseason, and that's a year after having knee surgery. And the once he does come back, it's not like he's just going to hit the floor and be playing a savior role at 33 minutes a night. It's going to be, we saw this last year, a really long multi-week ramp-up period, which is perhaps more damaging for your fantasy team because you can't put him on IR, but instead you're getting a Chris Middleton is playing 15 minutes a night and just torpedoing your team. So, and once he does come back, he's an aging vet. So I think that's just somebody that you can move off of, or try, see if somebody's, if you can try to trade him. I don't know.
Nate, I guess, I don't know, 10% of those people who have him rostered could be telling themselves a story that the Milwaukee rotation is so trash, it's so thin that, like, you know, once he's up and running, the role could be awesome, but his body won't allow it. It doesn't matter. You know, they're gonna, and man, I pride myself in knowing who plays for what team and knowing the 12th man on teams. But I think with Milwaukee, we'd be playing who he play foe by player seven. Like,
Yes.
that is the saddest roster they have around Giannis and Dame. It is pathetic, including Doc Rivers.
Big baby Glenn. So another guy to move on. I'll just hit one last guy here.
That guy.
And that is another guy who I really just don't understand this at all. He's 59% roster. And I don't understand why he's north of 10.
Okay.
And that's Alex Caruso at
Oh
and
God.
so I just don't quite
This
get this. So
all
he's
Lakers
currently out
fans.
with hip soreness, but he's the 184th ranked player on a per game basis. His averages this season are, wait for this, 4 points, three rebounds, two assists.
And
And
five
he's
steals. No, I was kidding. No
it, well,
steals.
it Well, 1.7 steals.
Sure,
That is
sure.
elite. That is elite.
How
So,
many
but he's shooting
games has he
30.
played?
I don't know. He's more games than he hasn't. But
Okay.
I mean, he's rostered in 59% of the league. I mean, so like last year, and I don't even quite understand the why, because last year he averaged 29 minutes a night and was the 120 ranked 22nd ranked player in the league, which probably undersold his value.
Looks something up.
This year he's averaging 20 minutes a night. So it was a great real life addition for the
Oh,
Thunder,
God.
but he just doesn't need to be a fantasy player unless there is a series of injuries that elevate him back up to that 30 minutes.
This is a great one. I honestly think if his nickname hadn't been the White Mamba, he would be 11% rostered. People, they glaze this guy, as the kids are saying. They froth him. They love him because of he looks the way he does. Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you rather have out in Zombie Land, rostered right now? Caruso the GOAT or Cason Wallace, UK 2K?
Cason Wallace, pretty easily. I
So,
mean,
yes.
his steal numbers are perhaps better, and he has the potential to explode because he's a second year player.
Nate is averaging 1.7 steals a game. Can you guess his roster percentage?
Cason Wallace?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be low. I'm gonna guess 15.
Lower.
But five?
Lower. It's four.
Really?
Cason Wallace is 4% rostered.
With that basically identical stat profile.
That's insane, man. So I don't know. It's weird. Yahoo,
Wow,
we
great pull.
might need to get a different format. But that's pretty bad. So yeah, good
Yeah.
call. Cason Wallace is way more interesting as a stash in a deeper league. 14 team league, you should have Cason Wallace on your roster if you are
Yeah.
willing to roster zombies.
Right.
But you know, if you can sleep at night, that's great. Not everyone is from Seattle, so. Okay, let's get back in the second half of my list here, Nate. So we got the luxury stash upside flashing guys. We're starting here with this past season's shocking number one overall pick in a brutal draft. I can say this though, he's going to be better than that power forward that Cleveland took in like 2004 or whatever. I can't even remember his name. He went to UNLV, Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. It's guaranteed to be better than Anthony Bennett already.
Yes.
He's down to 27% rostered. He was 33 a couple days ago. He feels like a luxury.
You're talking about Zachariah Richeje, right?
Zachary Richesche. Did I not say it? Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Nate. Yep. So we're talking about number one overall pick to the Atlanta Hawks, Zachary Richesche. You know, he's a luxury stash to me, Nate. He flashed his ceiling. He flashed us all with the ceiling in 37 minutes against the Knicks. He gave us 33 points, 7 rebounds, three dimes, three steals, two blocks, six triples. And since then, it's been a splattering of okay games. His lowest output in the scoring department was seven. His highest was 17. The defensive stats come and go. But to me, he's interesting. It really depends on your roster. It feels like we're going to be – the percentages are brutal. They're brutal. And the free throw percentage department, I should give it to the people. You guys might not have access to the internet. Maybe you only have the podcast. So he's averaging 67% from the line and 37% from the field.
Wow.
So you're not going to find a combo like that potentially out there.
Outside of Keyonte George. Right.
But he still intrigues me as a Sash Licky. Has to work for your roster. And we have Bogdan Bogdanović coming back, I believe, just today. Right. So things are going to get a little more complicated over there.
And DeAndre Hunter came back this week as well.
I wish DeAndre Hunter would just go away. We don't need him. He'd just leave. Let us focus on other players. But that's not how it works. You're a man. You're the fourth overall pick, and you're making good money to play basketball. So that's cool. Anyways, where do you land on this, Licky? Is he somebody that if he has a big old game, we're going to be grabbing after every big game? If he flashes another, 25, 5-5 style game, are you going to be tempted, or where are you at on him?
I like his inclusion in this. I've actually caught, I think, maybe three Hawks games so far this year, which is, I'm like a little embarrassed to say that number out loud.
It's not enough. But, I know. I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's looked good. I thought he looked very competent.
He looks
on the
part.
Floor. Yep. He's very tall. I feel like I often get him, if I'm doing something else and I just glance up, it takes me a half a second to figure out who Jalen Johnson is and who's Rishi Shea, because they're a similar size.
I've had that same thing. So you're doing like woodworking or something and you look up and glance at the Hawks game and you're like, which one's Rishi Shea? Which one's Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, they both have like the very nice upright shooting form from three. I mean, his shot looks nice. His percentages are bad, but I mean, the shot does not look broken. And so I think that he's going to be a very good player in this league. The thing that gives me a little hesitation is exactly what you brought up, is that you have a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, so you have Hunter, you got Bogdanović, you have Jalen Johnson, Trey is obviously going to take a whole bunch. And then you have both centers, which I, at the last second, I scraped talking about the Hawk center, but there's just a lot of mouths to feed. But I do think that he's going to find his way in and out of lineups all season.
Yeah, exactly. He's a hard player to just hold on to through all the ups and downs. But if you have the ability to, more power to you. He's interesting. And he's, again, we have the hot potato players. Yeah, where you're running after every big game trying to grab them. And I think he's going to be like that. Sean, who you got?
Yeah, so when I looked at my potential ads, is the way I looked at it here. So I was looking at, if you were to drop some of those guys, who were some players that – they're not necessarily like must add guys. I just think that their roster percentage just is way too low. And so I was looking at guys that are rostered in sub 40% of leagues, was my cutoff. And I'm going to hold on to my first one, but in general, I'm going to move from higher percentages down. The first one I have, and I think my guys will perhaps be less exciting than yours will be, but that is a little bit kind of fits our, MOs. And so the first guy is Lu Dort, the Dortcher Chamber, who I know you don't.
I looked at his stats just the other day in preparation for this pod. I did look at his stats, so I'm doing my homework.
You knew that he might come up. Lu Dort's the 48th ranked player in fantasy. And some of that is due to kind of some unsustainable 45% shooting from three.
Yep.
That's going to come back down. But that being said, I mean, since Chip Engel, the great shooting coach from the Spurs, has come over, he's really fixed his shot. So, I mean, last year he shot 39% from three. So I think he's going to come back down. But I think he's proven that he is now a three-point shooter. And so I think what you're getting from him is really, really strong season-long 3-and-Ds. So you're getting, obviously, he's very elite on the defensive end. You're getting two stocks combined, steals, blocks. And then now you're getting threes and points with that, and he's locked into his role. I think that's one thing that you feel really safe about with
him. It's not fluctuation in his role anymore.
Exactly. And that it, no matter who's in, who's out of the lineup, when Hartenstein comes back, when Chet comes back, you know, he'll just move up. He'll move back up to small forward. When they're out, he's moving down to power forward or center sometimes. So I think that he, at 33%, that number needs to be back up into the 60s.
He's got to be on rosters. Yep, he needs to be rostered. He is not on the margins for me. He's elevated above this list. So, good. I like you pointing him out because we traditionally might think of him as a player on the margins.
Yeah.
You want to hit me with one more, and then we're going to get a little personal? But you can't do any Blazers.
Okay. I'll skip my Blazers then because I do have two on my list, but
Yeah,
I'm
we'll do
gonna.
Blazers last. We're going to do a little Blazers corner
Okay.
for
Yeah.
the big.
So moving down percentage wise, I'm gonna go to a guy that's 23% rostered. That I you're gonna roll your eyes when I say this. But he's the boring vet that I kind of go, oh, this makes me feel safe for this
Evan
pickup.
Fournier, you know, I get it. Go ahead, feel safe. Okay.
I wish it was Dario Saric, but it isn't. It's Grant Williams.
Oh my God. Shit. Every year. Every year with this Grant Williams propaganda. We're back, are we? We're back. Okay, let's hear about his percentages. Yeah, he's getting some rebounds. His role is decent. Okay, let's talk about Grant Williams. You can't stop standing for Grant Williams. What is it with him? This is like the
This is
guy
the
you.
year. This is the
Okay.
year.
Let's talk about Grant Williams. The floor is yours. I just want to point out that we can't seem to keep you away from Grant Williams.
I was done with him. I will
Okay,
admit
where are
that I
you
was fully done with him. And then
at?
the Hornets can't keep a big man healthy. And so
It's
they are
a great
currently
tackle.
starting, they're currently starting Taj Gibson. They're this desperate. And so when you get to that level of desperation, and then it's time to give Grant Williams 32 minutes a night, which is what he's getting. And so he's during that time period, he's top 100 ranked, and he's giving you the classic Grant Williams trickle of stats. And so that just kind of is 11 and 6 defensive, you know, 1.4 steals, 0.9 blocks.
Point
That
nine blocks
it's
over the course of the season.
over the last couple of weeks since ever since Nick Richards went down.
I'm not paid, so hey, we're amateur podcasters. We consider ourselves pretty immersed. I'll be honest, I haven't looked at Grant Williams' stat profile this season one goddamn time.
Yeah, it's
Haven't.
since Nick Richardson went down, they've kind of just needed some guys to step in.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, he Richardson's out for a handful of weeks at a minimum with broken ribs. Tijon Salon, it's just he's not ready. He's way too raw at this point. Diabate is looking actually really
We
solid. I
should talk
mean, he
about
was a
Diabate here. Yeah,
He was solid. I mean, he was a former consensus five-star recruit at Michigan, and he was first team all Big Ten. And so he's and his rebounding numbers have been really good. So I do like him,
I was
but
more
I
interested
think
in
that they
Diabate, but
fit. Yeah, they fit different roles a little bit. So I think I'm just
they do.
saying, and this particular, I wanted to just this is not he's not a long-term hold, but just for this particular moment in time with some of these guys you're frustrated with, if you wanted to grab a hot option out there, like you keep talking about riding hots, then here's a hot.
Grant Williams ain't hot. I'll tell you what. I don't care what his production is. He looks like the worst Ninja Turtle that was cast off. Sorry. I don't like Grant Williams. I don't like his neck or the way he looks. Sorry. I don't like Grant
Does look like a
Williams.
turtle. That's pretty
He
good.
does. He's an annoying guy. And he seems like he really annoyed his Celtics teammates. I've seen him do really annoying little brother. He's like the youngest of six siblings at all times kind of vibe. That's his general
Yeah.
nature. So
Yeah,
you probably you.
that flagrant two foul on Jaylen
Yes.
Brown didn't get him any
You
favors the other week.
like the instigating little shit in him, I think,
I
that
do. I
attracts you
think
to
I
him.
do. Yeah.
That makes
Yeah, he'd be a
sense.
good guy to hang out with at a dive bar.
Okay, we're gonna move on from Grant Williams, but it's not a bad shout out. His production has been useful. You ready to talk about the Blazers? I see you just pour a little bit of wine, so it might be helpful.
Yeah. Let me just get this laughter fit under control. But yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Blazers.
Okay, so I got a couple Blazers in the luxury stash upside flashing guys category. I'd be willing to drop Grant Williams from either one of these guys, just to be clear. First we're going to talk about Scoot Henderson. Like he's 28% rostered. You'd think the number two pick in the 2023 draft would be more of a priority for a young team focused on player development. Yeah, he's averaging 25.5 minutes a game, which is a full 3 less minutes per game than his rookie year, which I find freaking fascinating. So if you roster him in your average size 12 team category league, he's surely your lowest producing player. So let's talk Scoot's development here a little bit. Are you with Chauncey on re Chauncey Billups on reducing his minutes? What are you seeing? What do you hope to see? But please, let's be objective. Where are we at with Scoot Henderson as an NBA, a future NBA star, and as somebody you'd want to roster and ride out some of the tougher times? Or is he fine to be hanging out in your waiver wire? You grab him if something happens in the backcourt or he has a big game. Give me the diatribe on Scoot.
You know, it's such a big question there, and I feel like it's the big question that's floating around here within Portland fans. And I was at a party the other night, and
He parties.
I
He
was just
parties.
talking to
Yes.
I just asked a number of Blazer fans this exact question because I
Cool.
just wanted to
Love
hear
it.
what other
Love it.
people said. And I heard, from active watching most games, Blazer fans, I heard opinions all over the map from people. I
Yeah.
still heard a lot of my question was, in 4 years, what will Scoot Henderson be? Still heard people say Westbrook 2.0. And then I heard other people say seventh man. And
Emotionally
frankly,
charged responses on either side, I'm assuming, somewhat emotionally charged.
there was but I personally, I do. I mean, I like the way that they're developing him right now. I think he should be coming off the bench. I think last season he was overmatched as a starter and just was kind of was trying to force up stuff that wasn't working. So I think getting him in against a second unit kind of will allow him to cook and kind of figure out what works in the NBA, what doesn't work. Because I think what was very apparent last season was that he was not NBA ready. I mean, that was the book on him, was that he's going to come in, after 2 years of being great in the G League and be able to cook right away. And that just clearly was not the case. So I think lowering expectations on him, lowering the heat on him a little bit, and allowing him to develop, I think is doing him a favor. I think right now, if my personal take is that, he's currently the seventh best player on a lottery team, is what he is today. In 4 years, what do I think he's going to be? I think he's going to be a super sixth man. And so I think that he's going to have a long NBA career. But I think what's the challenge so far, what I've seen from him, is that his calling card was supposed to be his elite athleticism coming into the league. He's supposed to be this 99% outlier athlete.
We saw the
And
highlights. I mean,
we saw the highlights, but so far in game, that he's just been more average as far as that athleticism goes, and the size and the shooting are not quite there. So if he's not able to jump over people, then he kind of
I
doesn't
know.
really have much to work on. So I think he still will have a long career. I think that his profile as a fantasy player is still very optimistic as far as he gets rebounds, he gets assists, and he's going to be able to score. But I think it's just a time to lower expectations, and then in the recess.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. The people, thank you. Before we finish on Scoot, what should folks rostering him in 12-team leagues who are struggling to win five categories right now be doing with him? I mean, he's shooting 40% from the field, over three turnovers a game. You got to be punting those two things. A lot of people are, and they're good. They're good punts, great punts. I punt them. And then what are you getting for it? You're getting 11.5 points, 2.9 rebounds. You're getting five assists. He did have a 10 assist game in his last game. He's not even hitting a three a game. He's barely getting a steal. He doesn't do anything that well to make up for the percentages and turnovers. So really, you're rostering upside. You're rostering pedigree, and you're rostering the hope that as the season progresses, the role will improve. He'll gain confidence. Does that need to be rostered in your average 12 team category league right now?
I don't think it does. I think that he's one of those guys that you can move on from. You don't have to move on. But I think if you I don't think that he's going to, in the next 3 months, make you incredibly regret this drop. Now, I could see post trade deadline,
February, March.
if they
Yeah.
move a few guys, it could be a
Right.
totally different situation, and they allow him to cook a little bit more, and his minutes kind of get it back up into those 30s, mid 30s. But I think at this point of the season, he really is the seventh man.
Yep.
And then frankly, Delonte O'Bannon is Mr.
So,
Fourth Quarter. I
yeah.
mean, he's just freaking cooking in the fourth quarter, and Chauncey knows it. His
Right.
percentages, I mean, I texted you the other night as far as cumulative plus minus in the fourth quarter out of all
That's
players in the
crazy.
entire
Yeah.
league. This isn't per 36, just cumulative.
Right.
Delonte O'Bannon was like the 30th best, or like it was the 20th best fourth quarter minutes, and most of the guys above him were either on the Celtics or the Thunder.
Yeah, Banton's a killer. I think I'd rather roster him right now if I need production than Scoot. Before we move on from the Scoot section, would you rather be rostering Zachary Roche in Atlanta or holding on to Scoot in Portland?
Now, that's a good question.
What's your instinct?
Probably Scoot,
Oof.
but
Okay.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I feel like
Yep.
that's a really good question.
I probably lean Rocheche, but it's again, it's really close. Okay, so we're sticking it in Portland. We're sticking it to Portland. We're going to stay in Portland. You know, we're talking Donovan Clingan, aka Kling Kong. One of
Kling
the best
Khan.
nicknames. I think the Roto-World blurbers came up with that as after he put up that monster game against Utah in the preseason. They dropped the Kling Kong nickname. Had you heard it in the preseason coming from Blazers people?
The stats analyst, the one that's on the Kevin Pelton
Tom
podcast all the time,
Habestro.
Tom
Habestro.
Havistro,
Yeah, shout out.
he's been trumpeting it really hard, and
Got it.
so I've heard it from him, but it's great nickname.
It's so good. Okay, so he's up to 28% rostered. Like he, I'm going to call him the king of the luxury stashes. Okay. So,
Yeah.
sans any missed games from DeAndre Ayton, if Time Lord's missing, even better. He's an instant must roster in all formats. But when I look at the line he put up in 31 minutes against Minnesota, when I see those 17 points, the 12 rebounds, those are nice. But then when I see the 8 blocks, he almost gets a
Yeah.
triple double with blocks, and
Yeah.
I believe his first career regular season start.
Second. He
A
played
second.
the night before, but yeah.
I appreciate that. But it makes me sweat. It makes me salivate. I start to quiver. I start to shake the table. I start to raise it up. So any league with stash ability, he's a complete must roster. So again, for the benefit of the listener, if you're in a weekly locking format, like I have a CBS points league, he's on my bench. I'm not starting him. A games cap league, you wait for Ayton or Time Lord to be out. You can play him in those games. A league with deep benches, whatever the heck. I text you my plus 3,000 rookie of the year ticket.
Yeah.
He was right there next to Flipkowski in Utah and Misi in New Orleans. And I was just like, there's a couple outs here. They trade DeAndre Ayton, or DeAndre Ayton ends up with he removes his thumb. He takes off his own thumb so he doesn't have to play games. That way, when the ice storms come in, he can say, I don't have a thumb, and there's the ice.
Right, his blow up mattress kind of collapses and he can't figure a way to get out of it.
But what I'm saying is, I can't think of two less reliable veteran centers in front of an upside center stash than what Kling Kong has in front of him. So find a way to get him rostered. That's my opinion. And I think I speak for the entire fantasy basketball community when I say, let's get dominating out of Portland before the ice storms hit. Let's get him out.
Love that. Yes. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head here. I mean, luxury stash is a great way to phrase this because right now, I mean, the Blazers are invested in him. Clearly, they put their lottery pick in him. I mean, he is in his minutes, he looks like the future. But at this point of the league, he's only averaging, his minutes are just in the upper teens, and so he's not quite getting enough minutes to really, have 12 team viability on the regular.
Not a brag.
That is to say, outside of being a block stream. I mean, so far this season, he has had at least one block in every single game of all season. I mean, they showed the stats on the broadcast the other night, and it's something like the 10th best start to a career as far as blocks go at this
Jeez.
point. And his blocks rates per 36 are
Yeah.
still put him in the top five. So his he's an elite blocker, you know, and so it's interesting because, you know, his roster percentage is 28%. Alex Saar, who's right now is, and you might argue with me, I, you know, he's Alex Saar is also basically just a block stream in my mind, but he's north of 50% rostered. And so I think you're looking at pretty comparable players. But if, as you illustrated, if something happens to Aiden, then you're looking at somebody that really, I mean, I think a comparable outcome for him could be Walker Kessler's rookie year, who Walker Kessler's rookie year, he finished number 67th player. I mean, just as far as just elite blocks go. And Donovan and Walker Kessler did not win two national championships back to back. So I
Dude,
think that
you
I
just laid
think
it down in that one. You like got up and you were like right into the camera. That was awesome.
Oh.
You meant that one. It's so funny you bring up Walker Kessler because I was going to ask for some Kessler based analysis here, looking in the future. So let's do a quick Dynasty Corner, Nate, and a little personal spin here. So I'm in this long-standing points league, as you know, defending a championship, and we can keep five players and one rookie every season. I had Stephon Castle, who you know I'm very high on. But after that
Yeah.
monster game Klingon had against Minnesota, a league mate of mine had just dropped him. Shout out Win City. And I scooped him up and I dropped Castle. And I couldn't believe myself, but I just couldn't leave him on the wire. And I had to have him. I had to have him. So here's my question. Number one, in 3 years, both players stay healthy. Who is the better NBA center and fantasy asset? Is it gonna be Kling Kong, or is it gonna be Walker Kessler?
I think it's Klingon. I don't think
Yeah.
that's, in my mind, very very close
Is
personally. I mean, I think
Kessler a
you.
poor man's Klingon? Is that what we'll call him in 3 years? Like Klingon Light.
That's kind
Is
of
he Klingon Light?
interesting.
Is that how good Klingon's ceiling is? Let's get real. Get excited.
I'm curious to see because I mean
Okay.
I think
You're
when
gonna pump the
we.
brakes. You asked me to pump the brakes. I can hear that.
Well, I guess the one thing that I don't know yet, and we haven't seen from him, the Blazers have not asked him to do this. So right now he's kind of on offense as a rim running center, which is an element to what that they haven't had in a while because Aiden's a pick and pop. You know, I think what we saw in Connecticut was that he had a little bit of kind of facilitating from the elbows. I
Yeah,
mean,
yes, he did.
so there was he had some passing in it, and
Right.
so that's an element to Walker
True.
Kessler's games that we don't see is, I mean, he doesn't get any
No, you're
assists.
totally
And
right
so I
about
think
that.
if Klingon pops, I mean, I think
Yeah.
Klingon's going to be averaging 4 or 5 assists
Dude.
a night, but we just haven't seen that yet
Oof.
in Portland. They haven't asked him to do it.
I gotta take off my Sonic scarf because that just made me a little hot. No, you're right. I forgot. I mean, scouting for the prospects pod. The passing element of his game, we haven't seen it in the league yet, but that is a part of his game. So a great shout out there for the Dynasty Corner. So I love that. We got to get DeAndre Ayton out of there, but yeah, Kling Kong, in my opinion, in your average 12 team league, he should be on someone's team. Somebody, it doesn't
Yeah.
have to be yours, but somebody needs to be rostering this monster, the Kling Kong. So anything else Blazers
Yeah.
related you want to touch on, Nate?
You know, ironically, the one guy that I had highlighted to really talk about is a Blazer we haven't talked about.
Let's go.
So, we're gonna keep it here.
Let's do it.
And it's one of these roster percentages that I just another one that I just looked at and I don't understand at all. I just
Pause,
don't
pa
understand
Nate. I
it.
gotta pause you. Show
Yeah.
me Kamara. Show me Tumani Kamara.
God, I do love Kamara.
I
Kamara
know.
is, you know what's funny? I was now we're going on tangents. But the other
Blazers corner.
night, the other night we're watching the game and my 6-year-old goes like she's excited about the Blazers now and she goes like,
Nice,
"Oh,
nice.
like you're like, "Oh dad, like who's the best player on the Blazers?" And I just went,
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, Clyde Drexler, Kevin
And
Duckworth.
I panicked, and I went, this guy Kamara, maybe? And I was like, what am I
Like
doing? Like, I.
you're like, well, Bonnie, if we're talking fundamentals, I'm overall like just a basketball player. I think it could be Tumani
Yeah,
Kamara
and then she was bored at that point and
now.
tuned
That's
out.
so
But
good.
yeah, but it's a tough answer.
Nice.
But the
It is
but
tough.
I've coalesced it. I've given some thought, and the player is now
Shaden Sharp.
is this player is Shaden Sharp,
It
who
is.
is insanely only 38% rostered,
That's gonna come
which
up. Yep.
It's almost like our 62% of leagues dead. I mean, we were talking about dead leagues earlier. I'm wondering, maybe are people just looking at, his per game rank, which is 230 per game rank, which is terrible. But that just doesn't tell the story
I have some
whatsoever.
answers. I have some answers for you, and I support this one.
Go on.
I think a little bit it could have been with Shaedon Sharpe. It's A, muddled situation in Portland, and B, the timing of when he came back. There was a lot of injuries hitting, and I think people had trouble sorting out, oh, I have this player who activated my IL, so actually I can't drop anyone until tomorrow, and then blah, blah, blah. And then, a lot of people just kind of said, okay, I'm just going to let it go because of where he plays and because it feels like a muddled rotation. But you're going to tell us why that was a bad process, which I agree.
Yeah, you're right. The timing was kind of
It
weird. It
was
was
weird
like
timing.
it was coming in right as you were picking up other guys. That's a good observation. I mean, so he had the tear to his core muscle in his sophomore year, which kind of ended that potential breakout. And then in training camp, he had a left shoulder tear, and so he missed the start of the season. And then when he came back, he was on a minutes restriction, and you could tell watching the games that he just didn't have the same level of confidence, or he was just kind of feeling it out. He wasn't jumping as high. He was looking to avoid contact. And then after four games, you could tell, okay, like he was feeling himself. And since that point, he's averaging 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3.5 threes. And it's just kind of seizing the alpha role. I mean, I think, if you're listening to this podcast, he's rostered in your league, obviously. I mean, you're
Yeah, good
obviously a
point.
fantasy nut, and he's
Made it
not
to the end of
available
this.
at 39%. But what I'm here to say is trade for him if you can. I mean, I think that this isn't a flash in the pan week because Anfernee Simons is out, which
Let's point that out.
you might be able to sell the
Sell
manager on
that
that. Is
logic.
that yes? But I think that even when Anthony Simons comes back, the Blazers are invested in his development, and he's shown that he has enough tools that he's that this particular week, although maybe is the high, is a little bit higher than what he will be on average, is sustainable. And I think he is a great player to target.
Are you ready for a quick cross sport analogy based on what you're saying?
Let's hear it.
Just piecing this together now. So I was in trade negotiations today in a football league as I'm trying to get ready for this podcast. It was also fantasy football trade deadline day. So I'm trying to get a running back in the one league that I'm not sure to make the playoffs. I'm like scraping for the sixth seed. It's been a bad run out for me. So I'm texting DST, holler at you, trying to work out a deal. It includes Kate Otten, the tight end in Tampa Bay. And she asked me, is Mike Evans coming back soon? I say, yes, he is coming back. But however, in my opinion, the targets for this tight end are going to get even cleaner when he comes back because defenses have been keying in on this tight end without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, your two best receivers, and he's still putting up this production. So when you have an alpha like Evans running these straight line shots, you're going to get cleaner looks in the intermediate area for the tight end. So go back to fantasy basketball. I think with Shaedon Sharpe healthy and doing his thing, him and Anfernee Simons actually. Not only could they both average 20 points and with extras, but I think that their looks could be cleaner because you have two players who can really create their own shot at a high level. And so, if anything, I think you don't need Simons off the court for Sharp to put up the sort of numbers. Could the usage come down a little bit? Okay, a little bit. But I think over the course of a couple of months, both players can flourish together because the defense won't be keying in on just one of them because neither one of those guys is a like handle the double team guy. So you don't want that happening.
Yeah, there's not there's a there isn't too much talent on the Blazers, to put that politely.
Right. So you don't need double teams to the 85th best player in the league. That's no good. Okay. So before we leave Blazers corner, Nate, superstar potential. It's in the DNA of Shaedon Sharpe. I think we both feel that way.
He looks a little T-Mackey to me.
I love that comparison. And also his demeanor is T-Mackey. Kind of like relaxed, seems like a chill dude. Seems like maybe he
For
took
sure.
an edible, but like the right amount of edible, not too much.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like
Yeah.
a 5 mil,
Yeah,
maybe,
five
like
mil.
right before the
Get a little
game.
CBD
Like,
in there. Yeah.
yeah, for sure.
He's chilling. Okay, so that this has been Blazers Corner, Nate. You got any more hitters that we didn't get to on the players in the margins?
Only one guy at the end, and I don't really have a particularly strong take on him, but it's somebody that it was I'm almost surprised that you didn't break up on your luxury stash area. So I'm almost interested to hear your opinion as much. And that's Stefan Castle.
Yes,
So he's
thank you.
20% rostered,
Yep.
and Pop was pretty conservative with his role in minutes, but since Pop has kind of been out since his stroke, the new coaches have kind of unleashed him a little bit more as far as his minutes go. And so, we're not seeing a radical outbreak by any means, but he's jumped up to 156 rank the last 2 weeks. And the stocks are good, the threes, he's averaging 13, 3 and 4. And so I'm kind of on the he's a guy that you want to roster. He's a guy
You
that I
do.
look and I see him there, and I
Yeah.
want to find a reason
You seen
to
the
pick him up
haircut?
because
You
I
seen the
haven't seen
hair?
the haircut.
It's
I
like
only caught one game early in the season, but
it's beautiful. It's like Devin Vassell, but two times bigger.
oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that big piece flopping there.
I like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
So I mean the We both, I'm guessing, I know that we are both big Castle fans, and
Huge
so
fan.
it's a matter of like, will he put up enough to value a spot this season? And so I want to hear your take. And but then just right beforehand, I mean, I was thinking about how CP3 could be kind of the perfect mentor for him, both this season and going forward. And so I think, and was kind of curious. I was like, well, is he going to eat into his production too much? But then went through his career, and almost every single season, CP3 has been able to elevate another guard on his
What he
team to
does, yeah.
career to, I mean, another guard. I mean, I always think of like a rim running center, but
Right.
he's been able to elevate another guard to their career production. Whether that was Dennis Schroeder when he was in Oklahoma City, had a career year. Devin Booker had his first breakout year with him.
Eric
James
Gordon with the
Harden.
Clippers had his all-star level years with Chris Paul.
Yes. Pomenski's looked better last year than he has this year.
Yeah.
Jamal Crawford won Sixth Man of the Year twice. SGA had his breakout with him. So I'm kind of thinking that it's
It's getting there.
once again, just like you were saying, where it's not with your Chris Godwin or Tampa Bay reference, but
Thank you. Thank
I'm
you.
kind of thinking it's
Yeah.
perhaps a similar scenario.
But you remember Chris Godwin, so you're able to pull. He was around when you
I do,
played.
yeah. He was
Yeah,
old enough for me,
yeah.
so yeah.
He's out for the season. Horrible, horrible injury. He was having the best year of his career. Sad in his, I believe, age 31 season. So Stephon Castle, I said when we did me and Caden, our college basketball friend, who's super plugged into that stuff, when we did profiles on the players that were in the tournament. I said he should be the first American-born player to be drafted. So I've been high on him since the beginning. Who was the third overall pick? The first two was Rocheshe and Sarr. Who was the third pick? For some reason, I just have a block on that. But Castle was the fourth pick. Oh, it was
I don't
Reed
know.
Sheppard. Holler to the top 10 NBA in assists, Reed Sheppard.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
anyway, so Stephon Castle is the second American-born player. And I'm going through it, and it's starting to happen a little bit. You know, six straight games in double figure scoring. We have Devin Vassell, as they always do when he comes back from every season injuries, and I have him in every freaking league, always. And so they're bringing him along slow. So I think the usage for Vassell plus Sohan's out, you're seeing a bit of an elevated role. Plus when Pop comes back, maybe he. So I think like. For redraft just this season, I don't know if he's going to be a season-long hold, but I think you got to grab him and find out right now. And he's 19% rostered, and that's too low. I'll be honest, in our league of record, I was looking at Sexton, and I'm going, okay, Stephon Castle's putting up similar stats now. There's a bit of a mystery box outline to him. I love the player as well. There's like a 15%. I want to be the guy to grab Stephon Castle element to considering the pickup. So yeah, I think. Long term, I don't know if he is a true. He's like a point guard, but he's this new version of what we see as a lead ball facilitator, like an SGA. I think of him more like an SGA than like a traditional point guard.
Yeah,
You
I like
know,
that comp.
he's big. He's a score first guard who's a great defender, and he's a kind of a connective tissue piece rather than like a Haliburton or a traditional point guard. You know, but yeah, I love him long term. I think right now somebody should probably be grabbing him. I don't see him turning into a top 80 player for a month or anything like that. But I think he's a player on the margins right now. He's a great addition for this list, but he qualifies for both sides of it. He's on the margins. He's a young player with intriguing upside who's producing now and fairly consistently. So I think, yeah, I think he should be picked up. I think Stephon Castle's a pickup right now.
Yeah, I like that analysis. That's really good. KJ, with one last one as we walk out the door here, and that's something that's rostered way too low. I think we should be looking at probably closer to 100% rostered.
Oh,
If
wow.
I'm being honest, I mean at least up in the 90s.
Okay.
And that's SteelBridge Coffee. So I think you ought to head over to steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ. There you can get your locally sourced organic fair trade coffee at basically a couple pennies more than you're paying for at your grocery store. And in return, you're getting that delivered to your doorstep. So you're getting premium coffee. It's much better than anything else you're getting in your grocery store. And you don't even have to leave. You don't even have to leave your house. You don't even have to take your pajamas off. And so that's once again, let's head over to steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ.
That was a great read. But to be honest, you don't have to take off your pajamas to go get Starbucks from
I guess not
Safeway
anymore. Yeah.
either.
It's a whole new era.
You really shouldn't, honestly. Well, this has been a fun episode. Drop in the comments. Let us know how you like this way of analyzing the waiver wire. I think our goal was not just to talk about who are the top five ads, who are the top five drops. We wanted to give a little bit of like a structure to it. So when you're analyzing these pickups, you can think, okay, who's the latest Klay Thompson, the player who's over rostered that I could be
Yeah.
targeting, guys you could be streaming in who are giving you better stats with the same profile you're looking for when you took Klay Thompson. So that's kind of what we're trying to do today. So, hit us up in the comments of the YouTube video. Projecting the Jump is an independent fantasy basketball podcast for the people. If you like what you hear, do rate, review, share, and subscribe this podcast. Follow PTJ on Twitter, and you can follow me, Flying J, at QuantoPhysics. And you already know the takes shall remain scorching hot for Natron Clean. This is your boy Flying J, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Later.
Peace.
Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. It's Nathan